Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Come on. She has no idea that's going to be running this morning. So, but we're so glad you're at church today. And turn your Bibles this morning, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We've been in a series entitled Renewed. And some of you guys like to take the notes digitally on your app, and you can do that by simply texting app to 858-943-2221. Sounds like an infomercial. Or if you like, anybody like paper notes? You like paper notes? Come on, if you didn't grab them at the info, just shoot your hand in the air right now. We got our ushers are going to give some paper notes. We got some out here. Our worship leader wants paper notes up front. So we got paper ones for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to have a good time today because as some wise person once said, it's fun to have fun in church. Right? And that wise person was me. All right? And so we're going to have fun in church today as we begin to wrap up, because we're going to start a brand new series next week. Don't want you to miss it. It's going to be awesome. And it's going to carry us probably all the way through Easter. But today we're going to wrap up our renewed series. How many of you guys have been getting something out of this series? Come on, getting something out of it. God's been speaking to you, being renewed in certain areas of our life. And I believe this with all my heart. God gave us a word that he's going to do miracles amongst us. This is going to be a year of his favor, a year of the presence of God. And man, it's already happening. And here is our job again. It's just to position ourselves for that. And sometimes it's not even a big step. It's not that we don't have any faith. It's that we just need our faith renewed. It's not that we don't have any vision. We just need that vision renewed. And so we've been looking at those different things and through scripture. And today I want to talk to you about the idea of renewed generosity. Renewed generosity as we begin to close out this series today. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is writing a second letter now to the church at Corinth. And to kind of give us a broad picture here, here's what's happening in Corinth. These are now Gentile converts. What do we mean by that? We mean by that these are not Jews. These are people that were once afar off from the grace of God, and now they are coming to know the good news about Jesus through the preaching of the word. And so they're known in scripture as Gentile believers, meaning they have no idea of the customs that the people of God have lived by for hundreds, if not thousands of years, right? Go back into the Old Testament. They have no clue about this. This whole life is brand new to them. And so Paul writes them to instruct them about the church, but also to instruct them about how to live their life as believers. Are you with me? And so he's writing now a second time. He's established this church. This church is doing well in Corinth. And now he's writing them, instructing them about some things. In particular, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he's instructing them about generosity. We're going to read the whole chapter because the Bible's a good thing to read in church. Amen? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now concerning the ministry to the saints, it is unnecessary for me to write to you, for I know your eagerness, and I brag about you to the Macedonians." And this other place, or person, "has been prepared since last year." Now, love this part. "And your zeal has stirred up most of them." I want you, don't have to necessarily highlight in your Bible, but I want you to highlight that at least mentally, your zeal. Okay, that word zeal is only used a couple times in scripture, but that word zeal, man, it speaks to the heart. It speaks to, man, how passionate they are about this idea of generosity. Are you with me? All right, one of you is. "Your zeal has stirred up most of them, but I sent the brothers, so our blessing about boasting about you in the matter would not prove empty, and so you would be prepared just as I said." Okay, so what's he saying? He's saying, look, we know you have zeal. We know you're passionate about it. And that passion is actually traveling and stirring up other people. But I'm sending word now ahead of me to get you guys ready so that man, it comes to full fruition, right? So that the zeal I've been boasting about, that you're prepared for it. Okay? "For if any Macedonians came with me and found you unprepared, we, not to mention you, would be embarrassed in that situation. Therefore, I consider it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance the generous gift. Everybody say generous. The generous gift you promise so that it will be ready as a gift and not as an extortion. Okay, so what is he talking about here again? Now he's talking about the heart, right? Hey, look, the reason we're going before you is not to try to extort you. It's trying to remind you of your passion, your zeal that's been boasted about in all these other areas so that now when we come, you're ready and your heart is rekindled, your generosity is renewed, okay? And so that it doesn't come across as an extortion. It's about a heart thing. Verse 6, remember this. Here he dives deeper into the heart. Remember this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the person who sows generously will also reap generously. But let's dive a little deeper. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart. Everybody say heart. Okay, it's the key to this whole passage. Don't misunderstand this. He's saying, look, yes, it's true. True principle. The same measure that you give out with will be measured back to you. So if you sow generously, you're going to reap generously. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But I believe he dials it even down deeper into a more important matter. And he says, but here's the thing. You need to determine what generously is in your heart. You and God. You need to determine between you and God what sparingly is in your heart, and you need to do it that way. Are you with me? Okay. So each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Smile at your neighbor and say, cheerful giver. Turn at your other neighbor now and say, cheerful giver. Yeah, cheerful. What does God love? Listen. It's been said before, pastors love any kind of giver. But God loves a cheerful giver. What's he talking about? He's talking about the heart again, right? Don't do it reluctantly. Don't do it grudgingly. Man, you just need to determine. You need to be a cheerful giver. In verse 8, and God is able to make every grace overflow to you. Someone needs to highlight that. He's talking about the principle of generosity, but as he's talking about the principle of generosity, he takes it even deeper and says, hey, look, this is the principle, generosity, but look at what it does. It doesn't just make generosity overflow to you. What's it say? It makes, are you with me? Every grace overflow to you. In other words, Paul makes a connection here that I don't want you to miss. Paul makes a connection. He says, listen, there is a close correlation between our generosity and this spiritual journey. Are you with me? There's a very close connection between generosity. Now here specifically, Paul is talking about generosity with funds. But generosity in Scripture goes beyond money. Generosity, we're going to discover today, generosity goes into how we live our life. Generosity goes into how we raise our kids. Generosity goes into how we are in our marriage. Generosity goes in our friendships. Generosity goes with our time. Generosity goes with our talents. Generosity goes, it overflows in every single area of our life. And that's why there's such a close connection. Paul is saying, look now, I'm talking about money right now, but listen, if you catch this, man, he's able to make every grace overflow to you so that in every way, always having everything you need. How many of you guys want to have everything you need? 5 of you. How many of you guys already have everything you need? Yeah, I got Jesus, Pastor. Okay? All right? I don't know about you, but I want everything I need. And I want it to be according to his work and his riches and his blessing. And he'll make everything overflow. Have everything you need that you may excel in every good work. That's a lot of everys, people. Every grace overflowing to you, man, that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. Now, he started this out talking about finances, and he ended it with the bigger picture. Are you with me? It's a good message. And I haven't even started talking. I'm just reading the Bible. As it is written, he scattered, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now to the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all, listen to now, generosity. Are you following this? Because here we are. Verse 11, I'm going to read it again. He will be enriched in every way for all generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. Look at what generosity does. It produces thanksgiving to God through us. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many acts of thanksgiving to God. They will glorify God for your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ. What did he just do there? He just connected generosity to the gospel of Christ. Are you with me? This is so good. For the ministry of the service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many acts of thanksgiving to God. They will glorify God for your obedience, the confession of God, the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with others through the proof provided by this service. And they will have deep affection for you in their prayers on your behalf because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. God, I pray in the next few moments that we have together, Lord, you would speak to us, you would encourage us, you would challenge us. Lord, I pray that today, God, we would be renewed in our generosity. God, that it would be a heart thing. And Lord, that we would see it as such. And Lord, I just pray you'd help me now in the next few moments, God, to create an environment for people to encounter your son, Jesus, to know your immense love, and understand that you have an incredible plan for their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen. There were two guys that were on a boat, and on the boat, storm hit, and they shipwrecked on an island, remote island. And they get off, and the first guy gets off, and he's just looking around with terror on his face. And he's like, we're gonna die. How many guys that describes you right there? You shipwrecked on an island, it's small and remote. Okay, we're gonna die. He's walking around. He's like, there's no water. There's no food. We're going to die. The other guy just kind of leans up against the palm tree in the shade, just chilling there. The other guy looks at him and says, what's wrong with you, man? Don't you understand something? We're going to die. The other dude just leaning up against the palm tree goes, no, you don't get it. I make $100,000 a week. The other guy's like, what? What good does that do us here? Man, there's no food. There's no water. We're going to die. The guy leaning against the palm tree goes, no, you don't get it. I make $100,000 a week, and I tithe off that $100,000 a week. Wherever I am, my pastor is sure to find me. It's kind of a funny story, but here's the thing you need to understand. There is an absolute connection between our generosity and how we live that generosity out and with our spiritual journey. Over and over again in Scripture, it talks about it. And here Paul is stressing it in a whole entire chapter as he writes the church in Corinth about how they are to live out their spiritual journey. See, if you miss that, you miss the whole entire point of what he's saying. He's writing a second letter to the church at Corinth saying, hey, here's how the church ought to behave. Here's how believers ought to live. Here's the zeal you have. Here's what I've seen before. And now we just want to make sure this whole thing is continuing to move forward. He's talking about the way believers live their life. And he connects their journey of faith to their generosity. But this isn't the only time it happens. As Paul writes the church in Philippi, he does the same thing. He writes the church of Philippi in Philippians 4:13. And you maybe even know this scripture, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many of you guys have ever heard that scripture before? Okay. Man, it's a great one. You should all be raising your hand because I just quoted it. I never heard that one before. Are you listening? Right? And we memorize that scripture, and some of us even have it on like a little thing hanging on our wall or, you know, wherever it is. And it's like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. It's a fantastic scripture. But here's what you need to know, understand about the scripture. If you rewind into chapter 4 of Philippians, that whole entire verse comes out of a thought that Paul is conveying to the church of Philippi about financial giving. He's talking about their generous gift. He's talking about what it's done. And then he brings in this scripture. And all of us know this scripture. It's such a great scripture, but really don't know the context. The context is there is a correlation between our generosity and our spiritual journey. What about this one? What about Matthew 6:21? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, I don't want us to misunderstand that scripture. It's not saying that where you begin to be generous, that your heart is going to be tied there, although that might be true. What it's saying is, it's saying, hey, look and see where their generosity is at. That's going to tell you where their heart is at. Because where my heart is, generosity follows. Are you with me? If my heart is into my spouse, it will be seen through my generous living. Now, once again, let's not just think about finances. Let's not think just about money. We're talking about every area of our life, generosity. And man, you can tell when you look at a couple if their heart is really there. Are you with me? Are they generous with their words? Are they generous with their schedule? Are they generous with their finances? Are you with me? I mean, when you talk with somebody, if they're married and their wife never even comes up, their husband never even comes up. Anyway. Right? You can tell. Man, you can tell when parents are their heart is into their children. Right? So what the scripture is saying in Matthew 6:21, it's not saying, hey, you know, start throwing your seed there and then your heart's going to be there. Now, I believe that can come to pass. But listen, you got to understand this. It's not talking about doing that so then your heart will follow. Because here's what you need to understand, okay, is that here these people are, and many of them are new converts. And so Paul is not saying, hey, I want you to practice this thing of generosity and then you'll be a believer. What he's saying is the DNA of a believer is generous. It's completely different. Listen, generosity is not something we do. Generosity is not an act. Generosity is a part of who we are. It's a part of the church. And sometimes, yes, you need to be instructed. Oh, what's happening inside of you is general. Oh, how does that flow out? But listen to me. I think too oftentimes believers look at generosity as a thing that we need to do in order to be called a Christian. No. Generosity is something that comes out of you as a believer. It's when you come to Christ, your whole DNA begins to change spiritually. And you begin to be transformed from the inside out. And as you're transformed, you begin to understand that, wow, it's just good to give. It's fun to give. It's a part of who I am. I think about it this way. I think about my children. My children are beautiful because of their mama. Come on, somebody. They got their height and their humor from their father. They got their beauty and their smarts from their mother. All right, I'm going to claim something, all right? I'll take height and humor, okay? Listen, when you look at them, you can see their mom in them. When you look at them, you can see, I can see where you got your height. I've had people say all the time, all right? Yeah, they don't look at their mom and be like, oh, I see where they got their height. They look at their mom and say, I see where you got your beauty. Thank God you don't look like your father, right? They didn't have to learn to look that way. It's in the makeup of who they are. Beauty is just coming up because they got, are you with me? The same thing is true as a believer. We don't. Oh, I got to do this because I guess I better put something in the offering bucket today. Because if not, I'm not a Christian. Okay. Right? Well, I should probably, you know, show up and serve, you know, because if not, I don't know if I, you know. No, it's just, it's like, I can't wait to give. I can't wait to serve. Now, I'm not trying to talk you into something. I'm just doing what Paul did when he wrote the church at Corinth, say, hey, guys, like, I just want to instruct you. That zeal that you have that everybody's heard about, that's good. And here's what it's about. Here's what it's unto. Now, let's channel it and let's be effective. Are you with me? Okay. This is just a part of who we are. It's as a believer, I can't help but be generous. I can't help but give my time. I can't help but serve. I can't help but, oh man, we're getting a building? Yeah. I'll give to that. Let's do that. Just being generous. Now, here's the thing. I know some of you, you're sitting there like, oh, of course he's talking about generosity. We're trying to get a building. Number one, we already got the building. Okay? All right? And so, no, I'm not ending this series because we need $35,000 more and next week we're going to be in our building. That's not what I'm doing here. I will tell you that as we began to pursue this building, this message came out of it. But let me give you the background. Because if I don't give you the background, it'd be easy to walk out here and be like, oh, that's a good message on generosity. Yep, they're trying to get money for a building. Let me tell you why. Because it goes back to the very heart of what Paul is writing. He's saying, look, guys, look, you sow sparingly? Sure, you reap sparingly. You sow generously? Yeah, you reap generously. But that's not the point. The point is, what's your heart like? Whatever you purpose in your heart, do that. Because ultimately, God loves a cheerful giver. So this is how this thing played out in real time, in my life. We found out about the building. I'm like, yes! Because we've been portable as Canvas Church for 6 years. And before that, we were portable as Urban Church for 3.5 years. Round up, because that's what we do in church anyway. How many people are in church today? 7,000. What? I mean, there were a lot of people walking through this theater going to movies. They may have walked into the wrong theater. They were supposed to be here. Call it 10 years, right? Portable for 10 years. Am I excited about a building? Yes. Absolutely. Unashamedly. And I told people from the get-go, I don't care. Orange County, we'll take it. Tijuana, we'll take it. It's a building. But as this building came about, and we saw what it was going to take, and I stood before you 9 weeks ago and says, church, we need to raise $250,000. In my heart, here's where I went to. I went back to, I know it's going to come about. Because I remember when I sowed into that church's building fund. And I remember when I sowed into that ministry. And I remembered when I gave to that person. And I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit checked me so fast. He said, Ben, what was your motive for giving back then? I was like, because Ben, they are not your provider. I am your provider. This has nothing to do with what you sowed into a church there. This has nothing to do with what you sowed in over here. This has nothing to do with the money you gave to that person or gave to that person. If you want to look to them for your provider, you'll never raise $250,000. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit began to work overtime on your pastor. Say your heart was wrong. And right now, as you stand here and you begin to look to them, because this is what I said. I said, well, they'll give. They'll give because I sowed into their building campaign. Well, they'll give because I remember one day when I wrote them a check when they were in need. Oh, they'll give because I remember, oh yeah, they'll for sure give. Holy Spirit said, your heart's wrong. Why did you give? But God, I sowed generously. Yeah, but Ben, you didn't sow to them, you sowed to me. Did you give that amount because one day you wanted a return, or did you give because it's a part of who you are? Were you cheerful when you gave? Or were you giving saying, you know what, I'm going to give this because one day I'm going to need a building? So you want to know where this message came from? It came through me as I struggled over the last 9 weeks with a wrong heart about generosity. Holy Spirit, sipping, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 9, and I want you to be renewed in your generosity. Just give this to you and just let it settle in there. And maybe I'll propose these more as questions than as points. Because this is what the Holy Spirit took me through. I need to realize, number one, and ask this question, am I willing, giving willingly? Am I giving willingly? Is this something I'm doing willingly, or is it like, wow, man, I really like Pastor, and he's asking me to, and so I feel my arm twisting a little bit, and so, you know, I'll give. I'll be giving willingly. And I kid you not, as I was thinking back about my years of generosity, the Holy Spirit directed me back to this one moment when we gave a large amount to help a church get in. And I can take you back to that moment. And I know as I wrote the check, my heart was, I hope Pastor sees how much I'm giving. Oh, it's getting quiet in here. Pastor, what was that joke about the guys on the island? Take me back there. Oh, man, it's been an exciting 9 weeks. But I'm telling you, inside, man, Holy Spirit's been working overtime. Taking me back to every moment that I gave. Really, what was your heart like there? I remember surely as I'm standing here right now, I wrote that check thinking, man, I hope Pastor sees how much I'm giving. I was on staff at that church. Oh, man, I hope they see this. I wonder if any other staff members giving as much as we are. Am I too honest? Number two, am I giving cheerfully? Am I giving willfully? And am I giving cheerfully? God loves a cheerful giver. Well, what, do I want to please God or do I want to please man? God loves a cheerful giver. When I'm giving, whether it's my time, whether it's, you know, my talents, or whether it's actual finances, I'm giving and blessing other people. Am I doing it like, oh man, I hope they, hey, check this out. I'm here for you, brother. Am I giving cheerfully? Man, this is fun to give. See, you know when it all of a sudden becomes your DNA and who you are, when it's willingly and it's cheerfully. Number three, am I giving purposefully? What is the purpose behind my giving? Is the purpose behind my giving so that I will get? Or is my purpose behind my giving that they will be blessed? Last two. Number four, am I giving intelligently? Am I giving intelligently? Oh, do I understand what the Bible says about giving? That's what I mean by am I giving intelligently. Do I understand what the Bible says about my giving? I give sparingly. Well, don't be shocked when you reap sparingly. Am I giving intelligently? Do I understand what the scripture says, that he'd rather have me be cheerful than me to be? Here's the last one then, number five. Am I giving bountifully? Bountifully. Bountifully. Am I giving bountifully? As we conclude this renewed series, I want to challenge this church with what I've been challenged with over the last 9 weeks. And I want to challenge us to have our generosity renewed. Because it's not something we do. It's something we are. Are you hearing me this morning? And he reminds the church at Corinth. Hey guys, it's not about the amount. It's about your heart. It's about your heart. Don't give grudgingly. Don't give out of necessity. Be a cheerful person. giver. Be a giver that exemplifies who He is. Be a cheerful giver. Be renewed in generosity as you give willingly, cheerfully, purposely, and intelligently. God, we thank You for Your word today. Go ahead and stand to your feet. God, we thank You for Your word. God, we thank You that Your word is awesome. Lord, I pray that, Lord, this incredible community will have learned through, Lord God, what You've been putting me through the last 9 weeks and through this passage today. And God, I pray that as we walk out of here, we'd be challenged, Lord, not in something we do, but in who we are as Christ followers. That God, as we walk out of here, we would wrestle with this moment. We'd wrestle with this passage. We'd walk out of here saying, God, I want to glorify Your name. I want You to be high and lifted up. So Lord, when people look at me and they see generosity, they don't see something I'm doing. They see somebody I am, a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.